to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it had already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those scriptures that there's so much going in it, so much going on in the scripture. It's like, where do we begin? And there's a lot of like little things here and there. Jesus' words of fire, his baptism, being stressed, this division, 5 against 5 in a household, 2 against 3, fathers and sons and fathers, mothers, daughters, daughters-in-law, father, mother-in-laws. And then this thing about the weather. And Jesus calls those people listening to him hypocrites. You're able to see all of these things and interpret them, but you're not able to interpret the present time. There's so much going on in the scripture, so where do we begin? I think we'll try to start maybe some little bit lighter stuff, some things from my childhood, and then we'll try to dig into the bones of this passage. I've spoken a lot in the past about context and why it's important to know not only the context of the scripture, but the context of why, of how the Bible got to us. Do you remember, is that ringing any bells? Have I talked about that stuff? Maybe I just think I do and I'm not actually doing it. Talked about this stuff before, right? It's important for us to remember where the Bible has come from, when it was written, how it was written, and how it got to us. All of that is important because I remember as a small child, probably about like Madeline, reading or hearing this passage and thinking that when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately think it's going to rain. Now, this was funny because I grew up in Florida on the East Coast. And usually it was from the east that the clouds would come up off the ocean and it was going to rain. A lot of times those clouds that were in the west, as they started to move across the panhandle, they'd meet the winds from the Atlantic side and those actually wouldn't rain. The clouds from the west, they'd get pushed over and beat out. It was the clouds from the east that would come over and it would rain. And it was the winds coming down off the continental United States and the Midwest and all that would bring the scorching heat. So I would read this and I was like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Those western clouds don't mean rain. You're completely backwards. Even as a small child, trying to hold on to this idea of like inerrancy, that the Bible is never wrong, that Jesus is never wrong. And just as an aside, when I found out about mustard seeds not actually being the smallest seed, that threw me for a whole loop too. But that's a side thing, okay? The things in our scriptures don't always factually hold true in our lives today. Jesus lived in the Middle East, in Israel. The clouds rising from the west are coming off the Mediterranean Sea. The winds blowing from the south are coming up out of Africa. This makes sense for Jesus and his context and his audience. It's not going to be the same case if you're reading them in South Korea or over here in the United States or somewhere else in Africa. So little things like that. It's like, yeah, we can read scripture and recognize where we are in our lives today, geographically and socially, and not hold true to this. But there's also some deeper truth for Jesus' words. Even these kids at our children's moment, they recognize that they can see the weather patterns. We know when it's going to storm. We can be surprised when it comes along if we're not paying attention. We got to play golf on Friday with some of the church men. Played out at Versailles at the Woodland Club. It was a beautiful day. It was hot, but we had a good time. I got back into Lexington. I'm looking at the roads. There's water all over the place. Like, it rained here in Lexington while we were gone. I had no clue. The weather was a bit surprising. But we're able to tell and see the signs. And like we talked with the kids, it's important to prepare and be safe. But Jesus calls these folks listening to him, "You hypocrites." You can see something as clear as the weather and understand that storms are coming and prepare for it. But have you not been watching what's around? Have you not been able to see all of my miracles, to listen to my words, the teachings that I'm giving you, and not understand the present time? What's about to happen? This kingdom of God that I've been proclaiming to you is here. It's on its way. God has made it so. Be ready. It's coming. You can see these weathers and these storms and prepare. Understand these other things that you're seeing and be ready. What does that look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? Again, with our context, we've talked about in these passages of Luke, these last few chapters, Jesus' urgency. Back in chapter 9, he turns his face to Jerusalem, and everything after that is go, go, go. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to fulfill what God has placed me on this earth to do, to be crucified, to be raised again. Nothing can stop me. I'm going to try to prepare as many of you as I can on the way, but that is what I am doing. Those of you that meet me along the way, you remember that rich fool, the rich young man? Sell your things, come follow me. There's no time. The other person that said, "Let me go bury my father first, and then I'll follow you." There's no time, Jesus says. Let the dead bury the dead. Come now. There's this urgency. We hear it here in these first verses. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Not only is this an urgency, but Jesus is wishing that it had already been done. I wish that that fire was already here. Now, do you remember a few weeks back, maybe a month, James and John, as Jesus sends them out, they get rejected by the Samaritans, and they come back to Jesus, and what's their solution for those Samaritans that rejected them? Let us bring fire down upon them. Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm here about. The kingdom of God does not bring your fire of retribution to destroy those who disagree with you. But here's Jesus wishing to bring fire down. It's not that same retribution, destroying fire that all those that are different or disagreeing with us. This is that fire that purifies. That fire that burns away those things that are unneeded. The things, the garbage that get in the way. This fire that Jesus wishes brings and comes down to purify his followers. Not to punish those that disagree or don't come along, but to purify and make clean and ready those that are here. Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to be baptized. That's sort of the euphemism for his crucifixion. That's his baptism. I have this thing that must take place and what stress I'm under until it is completed. Now, this isn't the same stress that you get from work or the same stress that you feel preparing for Thanksgiving meal. Like, oh, there's so much to do. I'm so stressed. How am I going to do this and that and the other? I'm so stressed. The stress is Jesus' focus. It's back to that urgency and that dedication. This thing that I've come to do, I cannot do anything else until it's done. I know what needs to be done, and all of these things that are holding me back, that's that stress. Singularly focused Jesus going to Jerusalem to die and to be resurrected, to bring about the kingdom. Let me ask you another thing that I think I say all the time. Jesus turns the world upside down. Jesus changes everything. The first shall be, the poor will be made, the rich made, the weak. This is nice. We should do this more often. Okay, I have said that. You have heard Jesus' words. He turns everything upside down. So when we read this passage of Jesus dividing families, again, different time, different place, I don't want you to think about your family. Think about the families in Jesus' time. This was a culture that everything revolved around family. Everything. Your job was what? What your daddy did. Your inheritance came from your family. Everything was about family. I haven't lived in the same state with my family for at least 20 years now. Gosh, yeah, that's probably right. I'm doing all right. My world, my society, our culture is not so family oriented. I can survive for 20 years a day's drive away from my family. But in Jesus' time, everything was connected to that family. Jesus is bringing about a kingdom that turns that upside down. What does Jesus say to that rich young man? Sell everything and come follow me. If that young man is a father and he sells everything, do you think his son, who would inherit all that money, is going to be happy with him? I'd probably be a little divisive. I'd probably have a father and a son fighting with one another. And Jesus talks about mothers and daughters, daughters against mothers, mother-in-laws against daughter-in-laws, and back and forth. This isn't just the kingdom fit only for men. This isn't a kingdom where only fathers and sons decide what happens with their families. These daughters, these mothers, mother-in-laws, daughters-in-law, these women are invited specifically into God's kingdom as well. All that that society had placed around the family, Jesus says when the kingdom of God comes, things are going to be so different. That family unit isn't even as important. So how do we support one another? If our families are no longer the nucleus of what it means to be in a society, in a group, how do we support one another? This is where we can come to our culture and our society for a little bit. Any of you had church grandmothers before? I'm looking out, and I see, I can probably count a whole bunch of church grandmothers that Madeline's had in this place too. That's one way that we as a community of faith support one another. My parents can't be grandparents every day, every week for Madeline. But you all get to be. That is a one way that this kingdom of God supports one another. We're not fighting with my family. I just want to be clear about that. What are some other ways that as a community of faith, we do things together as family? We eat a meal together once a month. We visit and pray and send letters to folks that are unable to be with us. We garden together. You all have prepared meals for the homeless together. We collect service items for our children and the homeless. All of these things that a family might have once done together to support themselves, we've gathered as a group to help those around us. Jesus did not come to bring peace. Jesus came to bring a kingdom of God that turns our world upside down. For those of us on the other side in that kingdom, there is peace and comfort that comes with that. But those still holding on to those old ways, to their power and privilege and prestige before the kingdom, feels very divisive, and fights break out not wanting that kingdom of God to come. So the angels at Jesus' birth said, peace on earth, good news to men. That's after the kingdom comes. In the meantime, there might be division and fighting, because things worth having, like the kingdom of God, are worth fighting for. I said this in Sunday school. I want to be careful. This doesn't give us the right to be jerks. We don't get to say, well, Jesus says this, and so if you disagree, well, we'll just be divided about it. Jesus still operates always out of love and compassion and mercy. Jesus still invites all to be with him and gives them an opportunity to come along into the kingdom of God. Sometimes folks don't want to join, and divisions happen. But Jesus is never a jerk, and we don't get to be jerks to those that disagree with us. So may we see the signs. May we interpret them. May we be loving and opening to all, but understand that the kingdom of God will be different than our kingdom here on earth. And let's fight for it. Amen.